Well, I've spoken frequently about sheep and shepherds over the years, and I thought this year perhaps I'd said everything I had to say about it, and I was going to be stuck preaching about Mother's Day. Not that I have anything against mothers, but I've always felt that preaching about Mother's Day as a man is sort of a lose-lose. I'm not quite sure what I could say that wouldn't do less good than I would like it to, but I was willing to give it a try, except I kept coming back to the notion of shepherd. And not from the same perspective as every other time, at least I don't think so. And so that's where the sermon title comes from, another look at shepherd. Because we've spoken often in the past about what it means to be a sheep. Unattractive as that perhaps might seem at first is a way to consider ourselves, but still, where it means as if we're sheep, that means we have a shepherd, and then we've spent time talking about the shepherd, the good shepherd, and what that might mean. And I suppose I could just go back and revisit all of those things, and yet where I kept going wasn't to our John passage where Jesus talks about himself as a shepherd, not our 1 Peter passage where we ended up right in the last verse there talking about sheep, and not even Psalm 23, but our Acts passage, which doesn't mention sheep at all. So what's going on with our Acts passage? Well, we see a very interesting group of people. The New International Version has a little heading, as it so often does, and it says, the Fellowship of the Believers. It's not part of the canonical text. It's just a way to help you remember where you are. And I think that's exactly what this passage is about. They spend time with the apostles teaching and to fellowship. They eat together. They pray together. Everyone was filled with awe, and that everyone there, we're not entirely sure whether it means those who were in the fellowship or those who viewed the fellowship. There's a bit of, it's quite possible that it's referring to both were filled with awe. Wonders and miraculous signs were done. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold what they had. They gave to those who had need. They met together, ate together, praised God together, and enjoyed the favor of all the people. Doesn't that sound great? There are times, even now, where we were told that if we were really, really Christian people, we would be just like the church, the first church that we see in Acts. And I understand the impetus behind that, and I appreciate it for what it's trying to do, but we can't be the church in Acts. It's just not possible. Whether you like it or not, and whether I like it or not, the world today is more complex than it was then. It's got more complications than they had to deal with. If we wanted to replicate that church, we would need to work in the same place, live in the same place, be geographically proximate in a way that we simply aren't today. We can do lots of dreaming about what it would be like to be part of that, but it's mostly going to be dreams. There are some communities that have accomplished this, even today. This isn't just for a couple of thousand years ago, but these are people who have very intentionally made decisions to live in community in a way that most of us would find impossible. Jobs would get in the way. The need to take care of parents or children or all these other things that are so different now mean that we can't have a church exactly like that. The good news is that we don't have to have a church exactly like that. The fact that we don't all live in the same place and interact to this level of degree doesn't mean there's something wrong with us. This is just the way it is. The church that we have is the church of God now, just as it was then, but it's different. So how does that have anything to do with shepherding? Well, as I've mentioned before, every once in a while I find almost sub-themes, I don't know how else to describe it, that keep appearing in our lectionary texts. And they don't show up in one week particularly, but they show up over a number of weeks. And the thing that has struck me, at least in the last little while, and I'm sure you may have noticed it as well, is that we're beginning to see how the church and how we as the church stand in for Jesus. Now, all of us have, or at least I suspect all of us at some point or another, have talked about hearing Jesus speak to us. And when we say that, we are making perfectly accurate statements, but we're not, at least once again for most of us, we're not saying that we had a miraculous encounter with Jesus where we audibly heard him, whether we saw him or not, but where the voice of Jesus was impinging on our eardrums the same way mine is on yours now. That doesn't mean that we didn't hear Jesus. It means that we heard Jesus perhaps here in a worship service, perhaps through something I said or through the lyrics of a hymn or perhaps a prayer or perhaps the silence. Through those media, Jesus spoke to us. It's easy for us to discount that. And often we do. And we say, well, that was just wish fulfillment, or that was just somebody saying something nice because, well, because they're nice people. No, that's not what's happening. We are the body of Christ. The church on earth is the body of Christ. It's a mysterious metaphor. It's a mystical union, as it says in one hymn at least. But it's also a profound and literal truth. We are the body of Christ. Jesus, for better or worse, has chosen to not be here physically in the form of a single person the way he was during the incarnation. We might disagree with why he did it or how he did it, but it doesn't matter because he gets to decide, and that's the way he did it. We are stand-ins for Jesus. It doesn't mean we are Jesus. We are not perfect. We are not divine in any way at all, the way Jesus was. But he left us to do his work. Because for most of us, we need a bit more than the undoubtedly authentic and real presence of Jesus in that non-corporeal sense. I've told you the story before of a child who was in their bedroom. It was a storm of some kind, thunder and lightning, and they were quite afraid. It happens. I know some grown-ups who are afraid of that kind of thing. I always think of them as God's fireworks and kind of enjoy them myself, but I can see how they would be frightening. And so when the child called to the parents and said, look, you know, I'm scared. They said, well, remember, just pray. Remember, Jesus is with you always. The response was, well, I know Jesus is here, but I want someone with more skin. Which I've often thought is about as profound a statement on our needs as you're ever going to come across. When you need that hug that Jesus provided, Jesus didn't appear and hug you. Someone who loves you did. And they were the arms of Jesus. This has been coming up in our readings for the last few weeks, and I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't think I'm seeing something that isn't there and just projecting something into the texts. We look at that early church, and we see the remarkable things they did, and we're perhaps a little disappointed that we can't live that kind of life. But there is no difference between that early church and this one. The early church, that church that we read about in Acts, that we seem to think is filled with nothing but saints, the perfection on earth, until you read Corinthians and realize that no, they're just like us, and actually they're worse off than us in some ways. That church, perfect as it might seem, is just like this church. We don't sell what we have and give to those in need the same way they did there. But when people are in need, which certainly happens, and perhaps they're unfamiliar with the Byzantine requirements of filling out government forms, when we help them with that, when we help people take advantage of the social safety net that we have here, that we support through our paying of appropriate taxes, we are the hands of Jesus to those people. And maybe we think it's somehow more religiously significant to sell something and bring the money and give it to somebody. I'd put it to you that it isn't. The provision of assistance is the provision of assistance. And when it's done to bring glory to Christ, it's exactly the same. When we give to Presbyterian Sharing, it's exactly the same as what we see in Acts, where people gave from what they had to those who needed it. It would be nice sometimes if it was a little closer, if the interaction was more direct, and for some of us we do that. But just because there's a bit of distance between us and who we give to doesn't mean that our giving is any less meaningful. We give because Jesus has blessed us richly and says, from what you have, you should give to others. And so we do. Sometimes we hand money to someone on the street. Sometimes we put it in an offering plate. We're doing what God has called us to, no matter which way we do it. And when we do that, we are the hands of Jesus. One of the things about shepherds is that shepherds care for all their sheep. They don't just care for the sheep they like. As a matter of fact, they pay a special attention to the problematic sheep, because those are the ones that wander off. But they don't care for the wandering off sheep in a fundamentally different way than the ones that don't wander off. The sheep are cared for exactly the same. Jesus cares for his people the same no matter what. And because he does, so do we. We are called to minister to those around us, just like the people in the first church. Way back then, they were called to minister to the people around them. They were not called to minister to people they had no connection with any more than we are. Their connections were different than ours. They were face to face. They were arm's length in a way that most of ours are not. But the call upon them was no different. When Jesus left this world, when he went back to heaven and took his corporeal self with him, he left a different one behind, and that's us. We are not Jesus, but we are the shepherd in a way that he would be if he was here. The good shepherd who cares for his sheep, for all of his sheep, as Jesus said he will, cares for them through us. As I've said before, we might not think much of Jesus' strategy and his tactics, but they're all we have. And what's more, he has said that you will do this, and I will empower you to do it, because this is all there is. You know how often when we make plans, we have a backup plan. We like backup plans. Some people have several backup plans. And there's nothing wrong with that. Contingency plans for when things go wrong are a good thing to do in just about every situation. But every once in a while, there's a requirement for total commitment to something. And more than one commander of military forces, and I don't necessarily like military metaphors in church, but sometimes they're helpful. More than one commander has sailed his troops to a particular place and then burned the boats as a very visual, very visceral reminder that there is no plan B. There is no plan B for the world. We're it. And luckily, it's not just limited to those of us in this room. The church is it. When Jesus left, he said, I'm leaving the church behind to function as my body, and that's all there is. If we spend our time waiting for somebody else, we're waiting for nothing. The good shepherd said, I will care for my sheep, and we are his rod and his staff. We are the ones who provide those meals. We are those ones who accompany each other through the valley of the shadow of death. When we need more skin, we're the ones who provide it. When the people around us need physical connection with someone, we're it. Occasionally, people will think that when Jesus left, he abandoned us. But he didn't. Jesus' departure, as I've said before, was a gift to us, no matter how hard that might be to believe. Because when Jesus was here, he was limited to being in one place, one time, just like we are. And when he left behind his Holy Spirit and the church, which is everywhere. So when we take another look at shepherd, when we spend some time in the very rich metaphor of shepherd and sheep, it's appropriate for us to spend most of the time thinking about how we are sheep. But we also need to think, at least now and then, how we are the hands of the shepherd. That sometimes we're the ones who go and carry back the lost sheep. Sometimes we are the ones, the instrument of correction. More often, the instrument of encouragement. But we get to be part of Jesus' plan and purposes here. We get to be part of the shepherd. Sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we think, we're a small church. We don't have much impact. Somebody else will take care of that. Well, the needs that we see are the needs that Jesus has put before us that we might meet. Meet with perfection? Probably not. But meet with enthusiasm? With the best we can do? Absolutely. When Jesus left, he didn't leave us bereft. He left us more richly cared for than he did before. He left us a church to care for us, and us in the church to care for others. So if you look in the mirror 10 times, and 9 out of 10 you see a sheep, that's fine. But make sure on the 10th time you see a shepherd too, because that's part of our role as well. We are both sought and we seek. We need rescue and we rescue. Not because of who we are, but because Jesus works through us, that his role as a shepherd might be seen and fulfilled. Amen.